Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Sports Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. It's me, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Ain't nothing much, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Glad to be on here, as usual.
And equally, we're glad to have you, ladies and gentlemen, check out this show. Feel free to talk sports and entertainment. You know how we do it on this show every weekly. On today's show, we're gonna talk, you know, wrestling. We're gonna talk NXT, WWE, AEW, you know, and we're also gonna talk about, you know, what's going on in sports as baseball and basketball. You know, baseball's gonna is gonna start their season. NBA is gonna, you know, restart it. But, you know, most importantly, you know, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, you know, feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. You know, we'd love to hear from you. So, yeah, with that said, you know, normally, you know, we wrap wrestling, but, you know, we're gonna lead off with wrestling, you know, since wrestling had a huge week. You know, you had NXT and AEW, as usual, going head-to-head, but both shows, they had a two-week pay-per-view on free TV, on network TV, you know, cable TV. So, you know, they were battling out. You had NXT, you know, having the Great American Bash for the past 2 weeks on July 1st and, of course, July 8th. And to counter that, AEW had their Fighter Fest pay-per-view event, you know, on free TV as well, on network cable network TV. So they were both battling out. You know, they put a 2 week pay-per-view, you know, on cable network television. They were battling out. And we're gonna lead off with NXT because, you know, they had history. But we're gonna give you a quick recap of what happened, you know, the 2 weeks until the main event, of course, between Keith Lee, the North American champion at the time, solely the North American champion at that time, battling the then NXT World Champion, Adam Cole, you know, in a winner-takes-all singles match for the NXT Championship. And, of course, the NXT Champion and the North American Championship. You know, we're gonna wrap up the show with that. You know, I will actually wrap up the NXT talk with that, but we're going to, before we get to that, we're going to just do a quick review of, you know, the matches that went down. Night one, you had Tegan Nox defeat Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Mia Yim in a fatal four-way elimination match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. You also had, what was I going to say? So, yeah, they're going to be battling Io Shirai for that, you know, eventually. You had Timothy Thatcher defeat Oney Lorcan in a singles match. Rhea Ripley defeated Aliyah and Robert Stone, formerly known as Robbie E., when he was in TNA Impact, Dexter Loomis, you know, the former ally of the Velveteen Dream. He defeated his longtime rival, Roderick Strong, in a strap match. I think if my memory serves me right, Roderick Strong, he was, you know, battling Dexter Loomis, and, you know, he's been scared of him for weeks because he's in a car. So every time he everywhere he goes, he sees him. So, as a result, he freaked out, and I think he ran away and got lost that match. Or was it the match prior to that? Well, in any case, you know, he lost that match to Dexter Loomis. Io Shirai, she defeated Sasha Banks in a singles match. That was night one on July 1st. Then this past Wednesday was night two of it, and you had Tony Nese defeat Leon Ruff in a singles match. Candice LeRae, she reignited her her feud with Mia Yim two weeks in a row in this pay-per-view. That's probably the only match where the people battle each other both consecutive weeks. Candice LeRae defeated Mia Yim in a street fight. I think she did a top rope move. Like, I forgot what it was. I think she slammed her off the top turnbuckle to win the match. Bronson Reed, he defeated Tony Nese. So Tony Nese was in two matches apparently. He defeated Leon Ruff and he lost to Bronson Reed. Johnny Gargano, he defeated Isaiah Swerve Scott in a singles match. Legado de la Fantasma has Santos Escobar, formerly known as Fantasma, him and his group, Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza and Breezango in a six-man tag team match.
Breezango?
Santana Garrett. And last but not least, Keith Lee, the North American champion, defeats the longest reigning NXT champion in the winner takes all singles match for championship and NXT.
Well, you're still there? Hey, Will?
Well, you heard the man. He's limitless, man. He proved it. He's even he's a big dude. You know, he cruiser.
Hey, Will. There's some audio issues right now.
To wrestling, because this dude, he could move like Bam Bam Bigelow. I'm trying to think of some other big men who can move. That escapes me at the moment.
Yokozuna is pretty agile.
Yokozuna was another one as well. But yeah, this dude is the stuff he does in the ring is like unbelievable. Like, I mean, it was an amazing match, you know, and he went toe for toe with Adam Cole, longest reigning champion, leader of the Undisputed Era. And, you know, what can you say? The best man won, you know, it was a great match. You know, Adam Cole hit the Panama Sunrise, which is basically, you know, his, you know, the Canadian Destroyer. he did the last shot, you know, multiple times. And, you know, that basically usually, you know, that basically ends the match. You know, obviously, it's his finisher. But, yeah, I mean, that was a great match. And if my memory serves me right, I don't even think the Undisputed Era even interrupted in the match. And those guys always interrupt, you know, cause distraction. I could be wrong, but I don't remember them interfering in the match, you know, in the behalf of Adam Cole as usual.
But, yeah, that was great.
That was a great match.
Oh, yeah, by far. I mean, yeah, and he deserved it, man. You could see it coming, you know, for some time now that Lee was going to be an eventual champion of NXT. I mean, this guy, mm-hmm. for his size, I mean, this guy's very agile and athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never seen a guy that big, you know, like you said, since Bam mm-hmm. Bam Bigelow, guys like Yokozuna,
mm-hmm.
you know. I can even go back further than that. I can go back to, like, guys like, I don't think he was that big. Aku. I don't know if you remember Aku.
Oh, Haku, yeah. Haku, yeah.
Back in the day. But he wasn't really like a big, heavy guy, you know. But for his size, you know, he has some weight to him. So he was a pretty athletic mm-hmm. dude. But as far as, like, really heavy dudes, like, most recently, I mean, you'd have to probably say Yokozuna, Bam Bam Bigelow,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even a guy like Big Show, you know? Big Show's pretty agile.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they did say, right. They did use him as a reference, but, yeah, they were saying, yeah, Big Show also as well.
Yeah. Especially Big Show in his younger days, you know, as a giant WCW.
Yeah, in his prime, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this dude, he's got the making. Well, I mean, he's champion right now, but he could be a great champion. I mean, he could even hold the title for a year, just like Adam Cole did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's going to extend his NXT North American Championship, and, you know, he has a shot to break Adam Cole's one. I think he'll go extremely far, but I think the only reason why he won't break Adam Cole's record is probably they're gonna call him up. I think that'll be the only thing that'll stop him. But you know, realistically, man, who could really stop this dude? I know at the end of the celebration they teased Karrion Kross and his girlfriend Scarlett, you know, staring and laughing in the background, you know, foreshadowing his inevitable feud with Karrion Kross, you know. But that was just an awesome match, you know. As usual, he ended it off with a spirit bomb, you know, showing he's a fan of Dragon Ball Z. And then hit the Big Bang Catastrophe and made history, you know. And here's a interview he did after match, you know, while he's basking in the glory of the victory. This is a WWE Network exclusive.
Congratulations, you are now a double champion, the new NXT champion, and still the North American champion. Are you just basking in the glory right now?
That was such an easy one. I mean, I would love to say yes, but right now I'm in so much pain, it's hard to bask in anything, but the throbbing of my body, my face, my ankle. But in all honesty, yeah. This is sweet in so many ways, from the journey to coming here and having such a slow start, stop, start situation. Take it all the way back to when I stuck out there and I talked to those four guys and I said, hey, I'm just trying to decide which championship I'm taking first. Weird, right? I go and say that to them once, and now here I stand. One I took from them, and the latest edition. History. feeling like historian. I'm feeling historical. How else do you describe this except for magic? I believe Mark Henry said to me that I would bring back, forgive me if I misquote him, but I'm fairly certain I was paying attention when he said, I would bring back big man magic. Mr. Henry, this one's for you too. But more importantly, Mackenzie, my coach who just passed away just last week once told me I would be the top. I would be one of the best this industry has seen. Today,
well, you heard it from the man himself. You know, he made history unifying the two prestigious titles in NXT. And yeah, he was alluding to it. His trainer, Killer Tim Brooks, he recently passed away on June 30th. So, you know, rest in peace to him. And
rest in peace.
You know, he believed in him, you know, nearly 16 years ago that, you know, Keith Lee would be a main event guy. And, you know, it took him Wednesday night to fulfill that destiny. So, yeah, there was even a video that he visited him just days before, he passed away. Just days before he passed away, in late June, before, I guess, before this, obviously before this match went down, congratulations to Keith Lee, and, keep doing your thing. Oh, yeah. One more other thing. He mentioned he gave Roman Reigns credit because if you remember in the Survivor Series, they had the NXT invasion and he was the last man out of the NXT guys to get eliminated. And after the match, Roman Reigns, gave him, the fist bump as a sign of respect. And, a post celebration match right after the match, he gave credit to Roman Reigns, for giving him his props. He felt that was his, coming out party. Well, yeah, here's what he said. Roman Reigns doesn't get credit for what he meant, and he went above and beyond to make that moment. The simple gesture of our fist bump, he turned that into magic. That was the start of something special for me. He is such a superstar that he made that moment overshadow everything else that happened in that match, and I won't forget it. So, yeah, so basically Roman Reigns recently responded on his, on Twitter, and basically Reigns wrote, "Congratulations on one hell of a journey, Keith Lee. Still a ton of work to do, which I know you already know. Keep killing it and responding. I definitely still want that one-on-one champ," fist emoji. So, yeah, basically that was a highlight of Keith Lee's WWE career. And then, of course, just a few months later, Royal Rumble, he went toe-to-toe briefly with Brock Lesnar, which, Brock Lesnar looked intimidated. And, Brock Lesnar rarely looks intimidated seeing, facing anybody. So, you know, you could see there's a future WrestleMania matchup possibly between any of those two guys against Keith Lee.
I saw there's an article. I didn't get to read it yet, but so there's an article where Roman Reigns calls out Lee after winning the NXT title.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a future match between them might happen sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. That would be definitely a great matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody he faces in the future. So, you know, props to Keith Lee, you know, doing his thing and, you know, unifying the title.
Yep.
So, as a result, for the past 3 weeks, T defeated AEW in the ratings. But AEW, you know, they had the Fyter Fest event, and yeah, it was a good event as well. But Keith Lee, you know, making history, that definitely overshadowed what happened with AEW, but still a good pay-per-view as well. But let me recap what happened. Night one, July 1st, Jurassic Express, they defeat MJF and Wardlow in a tag team match. She defeated Penelope Ford in a singles match for the AEW Women's Championship. And it looks like she's going to be facing her old rival, Nyla Rose, down the line. Cody Rhodes, he defeated Jake Hager, you know, formerly known as Jack Swagger, to retain the AEW TNT Championship. Private Party, you know, which has Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn, they defeated the Inner Circle, Santana and Ortiz. And then the tag team champions, the AEW World Tag Team Champions, Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page, they retained their titles and defeated Best Friends Chuck Taylor and Trent. And that was night one. And then on Wednesday night, Kenny Omega and Adam Page, they defended their title 2 weeks in a row. So this pay-per-view had the AEW Tag Team Champion defending their titles 2 weeks. They ended off night one, and then night two they lead off the show successfully retaining the titles, but this time against Private Party, because they won the number one contender. Ship opportunity after they defeated the Inner Circle in the night one. So, yeah. So then the next match, Lance Archer, you know, they defeated the Bad Boy, Joey Janela, in a singles match. Then you had a tag team match with the Butcher and the Blade and the Lucha Brothers defeating FTR, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood, also known as, or should I say, formerly known as The Revival. And they teamed up with the Young Bucks, which, you know, they've been teasing on social media for a while now that they're those two are finally going to battle it out. But they both teams tag teamed together in a losing effort. And I think after the match, they, like, shook hands. So it looks like the Revival, now known as FTR, they're going to finally eventually battle the Young Bucks in a tag team match. And Nyla Rose, the Native Beast, she defeated Kenzie Page and Killian Young in a handicap match. Colt Cabana, he got the pinfall because the Dark Order, Brody Lee, formerly known as Luke Harper, and Stu Grayson, they defeated SoCal Uncensored, which has Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky in a six-man tag team match. And last but not least, to me, the best match of the whole Fyter Fest was Chris Jericho, Le Champion, versus freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy in a singles match.
That's some weird name.
This was a really great match. Yep. Yep. It's a great match because for like months, Jericho has been, you know, doing commentary. And he's always, every time when he's doing matches, he's like criticizing Orange Cassidy because of his left back. Like, he's always saying, like, I don't like this guy. I don't like his style. I don't like the way he talks. Like he just goes in on, like, he sounds like an old man on a lawn. Like, an old man, like, get off my lawn kind of dude. He just can't stand because of his laid back approach. Like, he puts in his pocket. And in the matchup, one highlight was, I don't know if you noticed, but Orange Cassidy, when he fights,
Will, what was that? You broke up there.
Hello. I think we're back on the air.
Okay,
you
great.
Hear? All right, good. Sorry about that, folks. Technical difficulties. I heard the phone hang out while I was talking, and then a few seconds later it went into effect. So sorry about that. I don't know why it hanged up, but we're back. So yeah, that was a great match. And you know, Jericho, after the match, he wrote on social media that you know, that was one of his best matches of his career, but you know, that's the closest Orange Cassidy will get to defeating him, you know, and there won't be a rematch. So yeah, basically Jericho, you know, hit the Judas Effect, which is his, you know, his new finishing move since he went to AEW, and you know, that's you know, sealed the victory for him. Oh yeah, another highlight of the match is Jericho's, you know, fellow Inner Circle, Santana and Santana and Ortiz. You know, they spilled orange juice in his face to distract them while the referee was distracted. But yeah, you know, Jericho, he got the victory, and yeah, all in all, a good both shows had you know, good pay-per-view-esque type shows on network TV. So all in all, you know, good 2 weeks for whatchamacallit, for wrestling. Oh yeah, another highlight was Taz. He awarded Brian Cage his old school FTW belt that he had back in the ECW days.
Mm.
So now Brian Cage is the new FTW champion, and his match that was scheduled on Wednesday against Dean Ambrose for the AEW championship, it got pushed back for this week, this week's event on this upcoming AEW event. I forgot the name of the event that that's going to be on AEW Dynamite. But yeah, basically they're gonna have their match. Oh yeah, here it is, Fight of the Fallen. So they're going to have their pay-per-view. They're going to have another pay-per-view type event this Wednesday called Fight of the Fallen. So, now John Moxley, since he doesn't go by Dean Ambrose anymore, he's going to try to defend the title because of, you know, I think him and Renee had a coronavirus.
Oh, wow.
So that's why, or there was a coronavirus scare or something like that. I think they both had it, or one of them had it, so they weren't able to defend the title. I mean, he wasn't able to defend the title, but now, you know, he should be good to go. So this Wednesday, Dean Ambrose will be putting the AEW title on the line, and now he'll be facing the new FTW champion, Brian Cage, with Taz at his side, for the AEW championship. So that's definitely going to be a highlight for, you know, this upcoming Wednesday. On Raw, looks like MVP is the new United States champion, because I think Apollo Crews couldn't defend the title for whatever reason, so now they unveiled a new United States championship. What's your thoughts on that?
I thought that was weird. And, you know, them putting MVP back into the, you know, wrestling limelight, it was weird, you know. I thought that MVP was just going to be Lashley's manager, but now, you know, it looks like he's back to being a full-time wrestler also. So,
yeah.
But I think it's good. I mean, the guy just still wrestle. He's still athletic. And having him as the champion, I think it's a good thing going forward. You know, it sucks it couldn't go to Lashley. I would actually like Lashley to have the title, you know, and then maybe have that potential matchup with him and Lesnar. But we're still wishing for that matchup. You know, right now it doesn't seem that's ever going to happen, despite, you know, everyone's pleas for that to happen. But I think it'll be a good thing for MVP to have the title. And I like the new look of it, too.
Yeah, I like it too. I think, because I thought I thought so too. I thought the title was going to go to Lashley too. But I think it shows that Lashley is still trying to go for the main title. Because I feel, in a way, I think they made the right decision, you know, putting on MVP. You know, MVP was, you know, one of the best United States champions of all time. And, you know, I think it's, now that he's back at full time, him having the title, you know, it shows that Bobby Lashley is still thinking, you know, heavyweight champion aspirations. Because I feel right now, after he was battling with Drew McIntyre, like, I don't think he should take a step back and try to go back to the mid card. You know, he gotta press forward, whether it's to take the title off of Drew McIntyre or go on SmackDown and take the title from, you know, Braun Strowman. He needs to keep that championship aspirations in his sights. And once he gets that title, I think that's when he'll face Brock Lesnar. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think if he doesn't get the title, I don't think he's facing Brock Lesnar. I think once he gets that title, that's gonna make Brock Lesnar pop up and challenge him for the title. Because, you know, Brock Lesnar, once he comes, he's an automatic. He has an automatic. You know, number one. That's why I felt he shouldn't have even had the Money in the Bank. You know, because he always gets that opportunity anyway. So it's like, you know, you know what I mean. So I just felt it was a waste of, you know, the briefcase. You know, because he's a walking main event.
Yeah,
you know, he's always gonna get opportunity. So. But, yeah, hopefully Bobby Lashley, whenever Drew McIntyre drops a belt, which right now I think it's going to be WrestleMania, really, the way how they're pushing him, you know, hopefully Bobby Lashley will get the opportunity, will be the guy to knock him off. But that's not happening anytime soon. But, I'm trying to think what else happened on WWE.
Was it on Raw? I think it was on. Was it on Raw? Actually, McIntyre's on. I keep forgetting. McIntyre's on Raw, right?
The same feud Jeff Hardy had with CM Punk. like a decade ago. You know, bring up his, you know, his DUI, drug use, and his taste. I mean, like, geez. I mean, can the guy try to have a redemption? Like, I mean, it's like every, it's like that's the only storyline WWE can think of. Come on, pal. What think can we do to, you know, Vince? Who part the base? And just pull up another DUI and alcohol thing. I mean, and drug thing. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's getting old.
I mean, it's just. Can you give him one? Can you give him another storyline?
Yeah, it's getting
I mean,
old
on.
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, the. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
some poor taste. Also, you know, the guy has clearly had issues with alcohol, and you keep making it a storyline. I mean, come on. Move on from
it. Yeah, you keep mocking him. And I mean, you could see he looks like he's really being serious about this time about being on the road to redemption. And
yeah.
They're just like, come on, like just keep bringing it up. I mean, it's crazy. But I'm trying to think what else happened. I mean, Bayley and Sasha Banks, they just keep defending the titles everywhere. NXT, Raw, SmackDown. I mean, it's just. I mean, I know most recently they defeated what you want to call it, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss on SmackDown yesterday.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out some of those matches.
Yeah, all these matches are blood because they all Sasha Banks and Bayley are like in every they're like in Charlotte Flair mode. They're like in every episode.
Yeah,
NXT,
pretty much.
Raw, SmackDown. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're great competitors, but it's like WWE, man. They just keep and all of these matches are most of these matches are ending in disqualification. I think Bayley did defeat, had the foot on the ropes, and defeated. I assume it was Alexa Bliss. It could have been, I mean, Nikki Cross. In any case, it was the tag team match from yesterday. I mean, either way, they both lost anyway, so
mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think what else happened on.
Well, the big return of Drew McIntyre's former bandmate.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you. He came back. Yeah, 3MB. And apparently, I think I read somewhere that was Drew McIntyre's idea to have him come back.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That
was great.
Was good. I thought he'll just like Lacey Evans turned heel yesterday, you know, in that battle from yesterday. But he later his whatchamacallit.
Return.
He lost to Drew McIntyre quickly in a squash match.
That should have been a pay-per-view match, I think. It could have built up Heath Slater as a heel, as a big heel for a pay-per-view match.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so too. After he lost a match to Drew McIntyre, and then, you know, like, Drew McIntyre kind of turned around and he was arguing with Dolph Ziggler, you know, because of their upcoming, you know, match. I thought that he was going to, like, you know what I'm saying? He was going to, he was going to attack from when Drew McIntyre's back was turned, but sure enough, that's his until this upcoming Raw. This looks like that might be his swan song with the company, but I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
But let's shift gears and we're gonna talk a little baseball. I don't know if you heard. But your boy, Aroldis Chapman, you know, he he unfortunately has the coronavirus. So.
Yeah, well, you know, there are other players that tested or that have already tested by DJ LeMay, who he tested positive a couple weeks ago. So he's been in quarantine. So Chapman will have to be in quarantine for 2 weeks before he can rejoin the team again. And Yankees, I hear they're going to have a couple exhibition games with the Mets next week.
Mm-hmm.
One at Yankee Stadium and one at Citi Field.
Yeah, and I think if I'm not sure, these next 2 years they're gonna play each other in 9/11.
Oh.
You know. So you know I think that's a smart decision, having them face each other. I mean, I do love them. I do love when they face each other in the summer. I do love when they face each other in the summertime and have like a 2 week period, have like three games at Citi Field on the weekends. Three games in, you know, Yankee Stadium. I mean, obviously, most recently, they usually have now the four-game weekday kind of thing that they do. But yeah, I think it's a good idea to have them, you know, play 9/11. For obvious reasons, it means a lot to both of them, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do prefer them playing in, you know, June and July, generally speaking. But, yeah, I mean, it's an idea to have them face each other in 9/11, you know.
I think that's I think to commemorate, you know, what happened back on 9/11, you know, and what the whole city had to go through, and the Yankees being, you know, still the defending champs at the time, and that great World Series, the Diamondbacks, and that great game that the Mets had. I think it was with the Braves after 9/11, right?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 10 days. 10 days after 9/11.
Yeah. Well, you had a lot of memories from that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so bad and good, but them to have that game on 9/11 to just commemorate, you know, what happened, you know, what happened 19 years ago. I mean, I think it's a great thing. 20 years ago, actually, since it'll be next year. It'll be next year that it'll be this year that they'll be playing on 9/11.
They're definitely playing each other next year for sure. I think I could have sworn I saw they were gonna do it this year also. Let me just double check to make sure, you know. But if my understanding, I think they're doing it both years, this year and next year. Let me just be 100% sure. But yeah, they're definitely playing next year for sure. You know, because that's gonna be the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next year the Mets will host the Yankees. You know, on September 11, Yankees will host the Mets during the 4th of July weekend next year. Let's see for next year. This year. Meanwhile, let me see what says Fred as he thinks he'll be 100% ready in a few weeks. Cano hasn't showed up, to my knowledge. He was in with the team yesterday. What else was I?
Have you been watching the interest squad games?
No, just the highlights.
Yeah, same here. I don't have time to watch an empty arena interest squad game.
Yeah, for real. I mean, yeah.
But I have seen the highlights. Looks like, you know,
yeah,
a lot of the players are in game shape. They're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Seen Miguel Andujar and Duhar. He looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Even hit a home run off Jared Cole the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But Jared Cole looks like he's been lights out for the most part. So he's looking like the ace of New York.
Yeah, if there was no Jacob DeGrom, he'd be the ace of New York.
We'll see.
I think Yankee fans forget there's two teams in New York. I mean, there's the New York Yankees. And, yeah, I know you guys think Red Sox is the other team, but nope. It's New York Mets. It's the team that actually beat the Red Sox in the 86 World Series. You know, the Mets.
We'll
still in baseball. I know they're playing DH rules, but it's the National League team of New York.
We'll see who's the better pitcher this year.
Right, we'll see.
I got my money on Jared Cole. All
right. I'm being on DeGrom because 2 years in a row he's been the best pitcher, and you know he has a Cy Young award to back that up. So
all right,
you know, that's my guy. I'm sticking with him.
All right.
But let me see what else. I think that returned and he is the favorite to own the Mets. He's going to be battling A-Rod and J-Lo and some other owner people to try to be next owner of the Mets. The final decision will be announced, I think, in October or by the end of the year. So, you know, as of right now, looks like he did it too big. And A-Rod's group gave $1.7 billion. So this is the beginning part of the negotiation. So, hey, man, as long as somebody who's competitive and wants the Mets to win a championship and we'll spend the money, I'm down for it, you know. So right now it looks like if it's Steven Cohen or A-Rod, you know, A-Rod's group, it looks like those are the two I'm rooting for, you know, one of those two guys. Because Steve Cohen, you know, he's a Mets fan. He has the money to spend. The rumor is he's going to become, you know, he's going to spend the money, you know. A-Rod, obviously a former player, grew up a Mets fan, Miami, you know, and not to mention they want to turn Citi Field, you know, they want to get that buzz back at Citi Field. So, you know, whoever, hey, in a perfect world, I'd love to see them join forces, you know, just to make sure the Wilpons don't own this team anymore. But we'll see what happens. As long as they get the right owner that will spend the money and bring Mets back to its glory, or take them to new heights, I'm all for it. But speaking of my other team that needs a resurrection, and you know what the team is, man. I don't even have to say what it is. I didn't rehearse this with you. So guess what team I'm talking about?
A team that needs resurrection?
What is the number one team in New York that needs a resurrection among all the other teams?
Well, you talking about the Knicks?
Ding, ding, ding. See, folks, we did not rehearse it.
Oh.
That's how bad the Knicks are. We didn't even rehearse it, and he got the answer right. But, yeah, the Knicks, the rumor is, Tom Thibodeau spoke with them, had the interview. He's going to have a second interview with them. Jason Kidd is a favorite. There's also another favorite to coach a championship with watched him in Milwaukee. And LaMelo Ball, he has every top draft pick, you know, they want to come to the Knicks. Unfortunately, Stephen Curry wanted to come to the Knicks too, but unfortunately, the Golden State Warriors had one pick ahead of the Knicks, and the rest is history. Like Justin Verlander, the Mets wanted Justin Verlander, but even called the Detroit Tigers the pick before them. So before the draft even went down, they knew that they're going to draft him because every time they were scouting him, the Tigers were scouting him too. So the rest is history. And then, of course, you know, Verlander, you know, goes to Houston and wins the championship. Obviously, there's an asterisk towards that championship because the Astros were allegedly caught cheating. So, you know, but, that's, you know, Verlander is one of the best pitchers in the game. You know? So,
yeah, yeah.
Career worked out well for him, you know.
Well, as far as LaMelo to the Knicks, I mean, the kid is definitely talented. I've seen his videos for a while now on YouTube, and he definitely has some skill. I don't know what type of NBA career he's going to have. I mean, and there was a lot of hype around his brother several years ago when he came into the NBA, and he was drafted by the Lakers, Alonzo. And, you know, he didn't really have a great career with the Lakers, and then he was traded. So, I don't right now, LaMelo does have the hype, but I don't know how he's going to fare in the NBA. And, you know, him wanting to go to the Knicks, I mean, you know, it's just rumors right now. But even if he does go to the Knicks, I have to see how he plays for me to really buy into the hype. You know, so
right, exactly, because playing in Australia, he's averaging almost a triple double, about what a little over 17 points, about what 8 rebounds and what 7 assists. You know, we'll see how it translates in the NBA. You know, he did well in the NBL, but you know we'll see how he does in the NBA. And, you know, his dad, I'm trying to remember his name. I forgot his name. LeBron Ball.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying, like, how he, you know, if the Knicks draft his son, he wants to get all three of his sons on the Knicks. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But Duke's hire Jason Kidd as the head coach, just Rick Freak.
I prefer them to go after Thibodeau, just because Thibodeau has been with this organization before, and just having him back as a head coach who has a lot of experience, I prefer him over Jason Kidd, to be honest.
I'm with you. 100%. I do not think they should. I don't think they should get. Unless they really think he's the next head coach that will bring the Knicks to prominence, then they should go after him. But to be honest, the doctor is to go after what's his name again? Tom Thibodeau. He was assistant coach on the Knicks, you know, during the 90s. You know, with Van Gundy, obviously he was a very good head coach. You know, he was a coach with, you know, assistant coach with the Celtics when they won, and of course, you know, he was a great coach with Chicago. So yeah, I think he's the perfect guy to bring the Knicks back to respectability. And if the people that the Knicks keep hiring in the front office, like, you know, Perrin and Darren, I think there's the other guy too. Like, they've been drafting a lot of people. You know, they've been signing a lot of people who's good in the draft. So if they could keep that momentum going, the Knicks could be a respectable team in no time. You know, but they gotta draft well, and they gotta have a great head coach to to bring them back, you know, because the NBA needs it, man. It's not the same without, you know, the Knicks, you know, actually trying to be relevant, you know, in the NBA. You know, we're in dark times now, so we'll see what happens with the Knicks, you know, in the future. Any last things you'd like to say before we head out?
No, just everyone have a safe weekend. Hope everyone had a safe July 4th. And, yeah, just come back, listen to Sports of Religion every Saturdays at 11, only on Box Talk Radio.
You know, check out, you know, Sports Urban Legend next week. Saturday is at 11. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And, you know, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Mamo. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.